The Disney Brit Podcast is sponsored by Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. At Attraction Tickets Direct, they recognise that people nowadays want to be free from package holiday restrictions and to avoid paying prices inflated by travel agent commission. Because they don't sell through travel agents, they are able to offer attraction tickets at unbeatable prices and offer expert advice. Furthermore, the service they provide is second to none since their lines are open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Customers receive their tickets within 7 days and there are no hidden extras such as credit card fees or postage surcharges. You can call them on 0800 975 0002 or visit www.attraction-tickets-direct.co.uk. Complete Orlando are here to help simplify your Orlando holiday. They specialise solely in arranging holidays to Orlando and can therefore provide you with an expert advice and knowledge on this magical destination. They have expert staff available 7 days a week and can personalise your whole itinerary using their range of hotels, private villas and apartments to suit all budgets, as well as car rental, scheduled flights, theme park tickets and travel insurance. Their whole range can be totally tailor-made to offer complete flexibility and fit your individual requirements. Call them on 0800 294 8844 or visit www.completeorlando.co.uk.
Ah, salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer. Too close, a little too close.
This is the 32nd edition of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday, the 6th of January 2010. Yes, it is the first show of the new year and, of course, the new decade. So welcome and happy new year. What have we got for you this time? Well, the usual news and rumours as we bring you news from around the resorts, as well as some news about some upcoming projects and segments coming to the Disney Brit Podcast, the Isle of Orlando Podcast and their respective websites. We then move on, as one of the pieces of news we have is to do with the strikes in Disneyland Paris. Phil Boydell, one of our listeners, was over in Disneyland Paris at the time, and he comes onto the show to talk to us about his experiences while over there. We're then going to bring you the latest Disney Brit trivia quiz, where you can have a go at some new questions. We're then going to bring you, to end off the show, some audio from within Disneyland Paris over at Walt Disney Studios, as we bring you some very funny audio from the Tower of Terror. So, without any further ado, let's get on with this edition of the Disney Brit Podcast.
Good morning, sire!
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
Welcome to the news and rumours for episode 32. As always, joining me, and actually for the first time in a while, everybody's here. So we welcome Juz. Hello, Juz.
Hi, Adam. Hi, Disney Pop people.
And hello, Craig.
I was originally called Maddie, but Alicia Keys and Jennifer Hudson wanted to be my voice.
Jessica Rabbit.
I was going to be a chambermaid.
The new princess, Princess Tiana.
Princess Tiana.
I am the ninth Disney princess. Yes, Jazz, he comes back. And Adam,
He watched it yesterday. I didn't. I did as well.
I did. Oh, shush. Talking about pod people, we've got a pod person, haven't we? Jazz, do you want to give our pod person a ring and see if they're about?
No. No. You're asking me to do something really complex, like talk and find the correct menu.
Yeah, I am asking you to do exactly that, yeah. So do we need to put some hold music in the background?
Do you have any, like, sort of elevator music?
Do,
that kind of thing.
I think I've got breakout. Swing out, sister. That's nobody understands what on earth we're talking about because nobody was involved in the conversation before we recorded the show. Okay, so we're going to ring our pod person then and let's see if they pick up the phone. Fingers crossed they will. Otherwise, Judge, you just have to put on a funny voice.
Hello. Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you?
Not bad.
Good.
Not bad. Very cold.
Right, you have
Very
to tell cold. Everybody who you are to start off with because you're our pod person, but who are you?
My name is Steve Sanders and I'm from Rock Hill, South Carolina in the U.S.
In the U.S., yes. We don't have
Yeah, you guys don't have a Rock Hill there, do you? I'm not sure.
Or South Carolina. We don't have one of those either. We're going to ask you a few questions, obviously, about who you are and where you're from. But just to find out a little bit more, and we're going to do some quick-fire stuff as we go through. We're going to ask you questions. So I think it's Juz's turn next.
Is it? Sorry, I'm not paying attention. Sorry. it's taken me that long to get hold of Steve via Skype. I was surprised.
Well, you know, we've got a lot of security over here now.
I know. I've just gone through the full body scanner. I did have to explain it was very cold, and that's the reason why. My question is, Steve, when was your last trip to the world?
That was October 11th through the 15th.
Cool. Craig?
Hello, Steve. Craig, how are you doing?
Hey, Craig. Yeah, I think we just missed you, as a matter of fact, when you were on your last trip down.
I think you did. So my question to you, Steve, when is your next trip to Walt Disney World?
My next trip was actually just paid for yesterday. For February 11th through the 20th, I think.
Wow.
Long one.
Cool.
Yes.
Favorite ride? What's your favorite ride, Steve?
Favorite ride's got to be Pirates of the Caribbean. I first did that in Disneyland when I was like about 7. And barely remember it, but it's still got to be the best.
Good, man. What's your favorite resort, Steve?
Favorite resort? Right now, it's probably Port Orleans Riverside.
Hey.
And Yeehaw Bob.
Oh, I love Yeehaw Bob.
Steve, what's your favorite food in all of Walt Disney World?
Oh, Dole Whip, no doubt.
Oh,
took
no.
a second
cool.
to come up with it.
That's the man after my own heart and everyone at the moment, apart from the fact he goes a lot more than me. For anyone who doesn't go as much as you, Steve, what would be your top tip for someone visiting the world? Your top tip for someone who's, you know, doesn't go as often as you, what would you say, oh, you should do this or see this or take this?
Actually, it's kind of a weird tip, but once you're there and you find out that you really can't get everything done, which we all know that we can't, my tip is start planning your next trip before you leave this one.
That's a good tip.
That is a good tip. I quite like that. I've heard that one before. That's a good tip.
It's a weird tip.
I try to do it each time.
Okay, good idea. And okay, last 30 seconds or so. Anything else you want to add in 30 seconds? Go.
Oh, I'm really kind of a newbie to this. I know I got to meet Craig and Adam just a few months ago, and I just kind of fell into me and becoming, can we call me a geek, within the past 3 years. I think it's actually my midlife crisis where instead of getting the convertible and the, you know, 22-year-old, which my wife would probably not be happy with that anyway, I ended up with this great Disney fixation, which I can tell you it's like a small snowball on the top of a big hill, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger as the, you know, the farther it rolls down. But and I know you guys are the same way, otherwise we all probably wouldn't be here right now.
No, that's true.
I didn't know there was an option for Disney or 22-year-old and convertible, because I would have gone for the convertible and 22-year-old.
I was hoping there was an option, but there's also another one, because I know we're both married also, and it may be an option, but it may not be the best one.
Okay.
Well, bear that in mind, Adam.
Trust me, I'm married to an English woman, so I know.
Right, before we turn X-rated, we're going to thank you, Steve, for joining us and for being our pod person for this episode.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. I hope it was worth the trouble.
Oh, it definitely was.
Brilliant. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Bye, mate.
All right, we'll see you.
Well, that's our pod person then. So let's get on with some news. Well, actually, before we get on with some news, I think we need to sort of catch up with each other because we've not heard a lot from each other recently, what with Christmas and people going away, that sort of stuff. So what did you get for your Disney gifts for Christmas? Did you get any Disney gifts for Christmas this year?
No. I did.
What'd you get?
I got some Donald Duck socks.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. So nothing major then?
No, not Donald
Duck socks.
I had quite a big Disney Christmas this year. I got a few books. I got Imagineer's Field Guide to Epcot. Got the Disney Mountains history book. I got a new Mickey Mouse watch, and I got this amazing book, which is by Darlene Kindersley, called The Pixarpedia, which is quite cool. My wife bought me a Mickey Mouse jumper from Top Man, and the best present of all, she got me a subscription to Celebrations magazine, which is quite cool.
He's talking about you.
Yeah.
It's like the seagulls in Nemo, isn't it? Mine.
I just thought I'd share with you. I got some cool presents this year.
It was a loaded question. It was like, I don't care what you guys got.
Not at all. That is a lie.
He'll even edit out my socks.
Yeah, yeah. Won't even be there.
What'd you get?
Again, later in the news.
And how was New Year?
In what way? Why? What did you do, Adam?
No. How was New Year?
Mickey Mouse came round to your house. It was great.
No. How was New Year?
It was okay. Thank you. Apart from the fact that I've had flu for ages, but you don't seem to be talking about that. But
yeah. And how are you? Are you okay?
You better, Jazzy.
No, I'm still woof. Okay. Thank you for.
Well, my New Year was good because it was the first time since the millennium that I had been out on New Year's Eve with Dev without the kids.
Wow.
So I went around all my old mates' house, and all they kept talking about was the podcast. So you all better be listening to this, as I told you all about it. So if not, I'll be very cross with them all. So yeah, I had a good time.
That's good.
What did you do?
I was in Disneyland Paris. And I think I spoke to you guys on Skype while I was over there about some of our experiences. And my favourite hotel is no longer my favourite hotel. And I think I need to have a bit of a rant about this because I think we need to let people know. We stayed at the Hotel Kyriad, which is within Disneyland Resort, but it's not actually a Disneyland Resort Paris hotel. And I loved the Kyriad. It's only a 2-star, but it's actually really well. It looks really nice inside, and it's always been my bet to go and stay in because it's cheap and it's well located. But after this trip, it is no longer my favourite hotel at all. And I sort of said to the people at the hotel, I'm going to mention this on the podcast because of just how unhappy we were. And the manager just went, okay, like that. And I was like, you're joking. Basically, we arrived. There was a big group of us, about 30 of us that went. And we had quite a few hotel rooms between us. And when we arrived, the hotels rooms weren't ready, which is fine because it was 2:30. But they told us they'd all be ready by 3:00. And then at 3:00, only 4 rooms ready, and they told us the rest were going to be another couple of hours and didn't really apologise. And we met this manager who was one of the rudest people I have ever met in my life, who was just miserable and rude. And they had a buffet in the hotel, which sounds like quite a good deal. It was unlimited drinks and buffet for €20, which I thought was pretty decent. No?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On New Year's Eve, they decided they were putting that up to €30, but they weren't going to tell anybody. They were just going to put a sign up on the desk and put the other signs up later on in the day. So by the time we actually got half an hour before we were going to go for our buffet for New Year's Eve dinner, and we found out they'd put it up another €10, and they hadn't told anybody, and then we were quite mortified by that, which actually turned out to be a good thing because we ended up at Billy Bob's for New Year's Eve dinner. I had chili and jacket potato for my New Year's Eve dinner, although we did get to watch some sort of strange cabaret, which at one point had women dancing around in bikinis and thongs, which was an interesting cabaret act to have on during dinner in Disney. But there you go. But the big thing was buses this year. Have any of you guys stayed out at the Explorers or the Holiday Inn or those lot?
Can I just say I hate and despise the pink buses. They're a waste of time. It is a horrible area. It is a cattle market. We have to push people out the way with prams. I walk every time I go there.
That was exactly my point as what I was going to say. It was just a nightmare with the buses because they share one bus between four hotels. And coming out New Year's Eve, got midnight, fireworks went off, and we literally ran back for the bus to get there before the hordes got there, and found that I actually got to the point where I was picked up and dragged onto the bus because there were so many people got on. The buses ran between sort of early in the day till about 2 o'clock. The buses ran every 25 minutes, and bearing in mind they're actually supposed to be going to four hotels, was just hell. They got to about, after about 5:30, they ran every 10 minutes, but it was just wasn't enough. There just was not enough buses. Bearing in mind how many Disney buses were going past, I wasn't impressed at all, and I thought we'd just better let some of our listeners know, just in case, you know, they were looking at staying there. But that was one thing I wanted to mention. Also, but interestingly, I did notice, and I did actually put this up on Facebook, took a photo. Vinylmation seems to have made it out to Disneyland Paris as well. It's Park Series 3 cool stuff. But that was there, and that was in some of the Disney Gallery and a few other places as well. So Vinylmation looks like it's going to become worldwide, just like bin trading has, which is
so
good.
Did you buy me a jazz one then? Like I did you. When I...
They yeah, were, good point, Craig.
Due to the exchange rate, they were very expensive, so no.
Craig's wasn't cheap.
No, exactly.
He made the effort.
Shush. But one other thing,
I want to give away at that point.
So. I still haven't even got my book got back
it
from that.
I've got it here. Our prize animation is here.
We need a competition.
We've got a competition. We're sorting out for that. We do have a animation to give away, and we have no idea what's in it because we have not opened the box. I can promise that.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely still closed. The other thing as well, this weekend, Juz, I know you didn't go, but me and Craig were able to get tickets to go and see Princess and the Frog at Odeon, and I don't think we want to spoil it too much. But what did you think, Craig?
I really, really enjoyed it, actually. And it, yeah, I know I'm enjoying an animated film when you're sitting there and you're actually more intrigued in the story and the character than realising it was a cartoon. I know you're watching a cartoon, but it didn't feel like that. And as I said to you, Adam, when we spoke afterwards, I thought the lighting effects that they used are outstanding. They are just moved so far forward over the years. It was brilliant. I thought the story was very good. I thought the songs... after a few times going to be very catchy. I kind of like the ethics of the film. I thought it had a nice story to it. It was some nice kind of morals in there like you expect. I even liked the cameo by Barack Obama in there at some point. That was quite funny. but no, I really, really did enjoy it. I thought it was very good. My only slight, I think perhaps the frog element of it, there was just a little bit too long would be my only thing. But apart from that, you know, it was very, very good. I was very impressed.
Yeah, I must admit, that was my one thing. It was Whoopi Goldberg was on our Raw Variety performance saying, well done, Disney, first black African-American princess. And I was like, you know, big applause for doing it. But then this black American princess spent most of the film as a frog, which sort of took away from the element of them trying to be something a little bit different. But I love the film. I thought it was fantastic. And it is so refreshing to see classic Disney back again, that sort of classic Disney feel. Not only do we have the wonderful animation, but we have the songs back as well. It really was... Well, it's done by the guys who did Little Mermaid and Aladdin. And we really have got that sort of old Disney feel back, and long may that continue. I don't really want to say much more because I don't really want to spoil it. But if you have not been to see it at these previews, make sure you get yourself to cinema to see it when it comes out in February, because it really is fantastic. Right, shall we do some news? Because we haven't done any news yet. We just waffled for a little while. Let's start off with some Disney Brit news, because we want to let you guys know a little bit more about what's coming up with regards to the podcast and some of the things that are linked to it. Firstly, Mouse Meets. If you did listen to Iron Orlando last week, you will know a little bit about this already or followed us on Facebook. But Mouse Meets 2010 is officially completely sold out. We talked about this on Iron Orlando. We did put another 10 or so tickets on sale. And then they went within a matter of hours. So there are no more tickets on sale. They've all gone completely. I think we've got, is it 130 people coming this year? Is that right?
10 or 12, I thought.
No, it's, I think the capacity of 130 this year.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want to spread it any further because we felt that with it being the first year, we didn't want to get to a point where there was just a hell of a lot of people and it just wasn't well organised. And next year, you know, if as long as it goes well this year, we're hoping that we'll extend that number again next year and the event will get bigger and bigger and we'll look for new venues, things like that. But if you've not got tickets yet, you will be receiving... Well, you haven't got a ticket yet. You've got your PayPal receipt. But you will be receiving an e-ticket in the next couple of weeks, which you'll need to keep and bring with you to the event. That will be your official entry. And that will be useful for, obviously, getting into the event and for the Odeon Cinema and all that sort of stuff as well. Also, pin trading. There's been something up on Facebook with regards to the pin trade and what time the pin trading meet is going to be. Kevin Batter, who I spoke to recently, did put something up for me with regards to pin trading. We did look at initially having it later in the day, sort of towards the evening. I think that's going to be a mistake. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think we said that pin trading would be a nice one to, even if we might spread it out through the day, because it's something that everyone has an interest in. Even if you're not a pin trader, it's quite nice to see what people at collections, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think we're planning on having the pin trading a little bit earlier in the day. Again, we can't give you official timings yet because we are not 100% sure on what's going to go where. We do know for a certainty that the cinema is going to be smack bang in the middle of the day, but that's going to be around 2-ish. But we're going to look at pin trading a little bit earlier because, you know, people are wanting to come to that and not necessarily want to stay overnight on the Sunday night as well. So we will again let you know, but we are going to try and bring that, well, we are going to bring that forward. In links with Mouse Meets 2010, there is a new vidcast that you can download with this episode of the show that is photos, like a photo diary from Mouse Meets 2009. It is already up on YouTube, on our new YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/user/DisneyBritPodcast. We are going to be trying to release our vidcast onto YouTube a few days before they release the vidcast, but you can download that now as you listen to this episode. It's probably already downloading on your iTunes. Craig, I know you've already had a look at that. Joseph, you had a chance to look at that yet?
No, sorry.
Okay, at least he was honest. But that vidcast is now available for you to download. Juz, do you want to talk a little bit more about the new blogs that we've started up?
What's a blog?
A blog? What is a blog?
Yeah,
it's like a daily or a weekly or monthly journal on the
internet. It is indeed, yeah. Yeah, we've got a couple going now for, well, one's for Disney and one's for Orlando. We're going to fill it in. Adam's promise he's going to fill in it at least once a week. And me and Craig will, me and Craig will interject as much as we can. We're going to concentrate on the Orlando one more and then just write next to the comments to what Adam's putting down. These initially will be available from the Iron Orlando site, but by... within a few weeks, it'll be available from both sites. We're changing the Disney Brit site quite dramatically over the next couple of months. And there's going to be a lot of integration between the two podcasts and a lot of the website and things. So it'll have a different look, but same content. So we're getting quite excited about the web development we've got planned for this year.
Yeah, definitely. You can go over to ironorlando.com/Disney blog. And that is where you'll find the Disney blog for now. And you'll also be able to find links to the Orlando blog as well, which I think is O blog, isn't it, at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the blogs there as well. And we wanted to let you know also about a few new segments that are coming to the show, because we want your help with them, really. We've been working quite hard on coming up with some new segments for the show. Some are still in the process of being developed, and we really want to make them as interactive as possible. And there's two that we want to talk to you about now, because we really want you guys to join in. The first is entitled, very cleverly, we feel, Disney Island Discs, which if you listen to, is it Radio 4? I'm not quite sure.
I don't know.
If you listen to either Radio 2 or Radio 4, they have Desert Island Discs. And the idea is that somebody goes on and talks about the songs they would take with them to a desert island. Well, we are doing Disney Island Discs. And what we're going to be looking for is for people to come onto the show to talk about the three songs that they would take onto a desert island with them if they were stranded there. And they have to be three Disney pieces of music. And I think on the next episode, Juz is going to kick off. He's going to give us his three. And his top one we're going to play at the end of the show. But we want you guys to be involved in this. We want you to come on and tell us what your Disney Island discs are. You can come on, email us, please, if you want to come onto the show. It's disneybrit@hotmail.com. And you can give us your suggestions for your Disney Island discs. Really, it would be great to have those.
Can I ask a question, sir?
Yes.
Please, sir. Is this Disney film or Disney park or any kind of Disney?
It's just any type of Disney. It's absolutely anything that is Disney related. You can choose your top three Disney songs and you can use those. Also, another segment that we're starting that's going to be a bit of a mammoth project, to be honest, but it's something that we thought would be really, really useful for us to do. And it's entitled Around the World in 80 Segments, which is 80 segments sounds a lot, but basically what we want to do is to go through the whole of Walt Disney World and give you a bit of a sort of guidebook audio style. And what we're going to be doing over the next sort of, well, quite a while really, is to be taking different areas of all of the parks and discussing them. So the next episode, we're going to be looking at Main Street. We're going to be looking at the shops, restaurants and attractions on Main Street, giving you our opinions and ideas and hints and tips about that particular area. And then we'll move on, and actually we'll move on to sort of Adventureland, and we'll actually split it up into three. We'll do Adventureland rides and attractions, we'll do Adventureland shops and restaurants, and then we'll move on to Fantasyland, Tomorrowland, etc. as we go around the whole of Magic Kingdom, and then Epcot, and then all of the other resorts. So by the time we finished, we will have covered the entire resort. Really sort of like a bit of an audio guide for Walt Disney World. But again, we want your tips, we want your ideas, we want all your hints to go in there as well, because we know that you guys have some great ideas, and sometimes, you know, they're ones, or well, quite often they're ones that are better than ours. So we want to hear from you. But any hints, tips or comments with regards to Main Street, shops, restaurants and attractions, because we're going to be going through those in the next edition of the show. I think that is everything, isn't it? Everything you would think of to do with the podcast and to do with upcoming projects and things like that.
I'm horrified. You think we're going to be together for 80 episodes?
Okay. Well, I don't on my own. That's fine. And okay. Craig seems to have gone very quiet.
I'm just trying to think of 80 things to say.
Oh, there's more than... I worked it out. There's easily 80 things to say. Don't you worry.
Okay.
It may not be 80. It might end up being shorter. But around the world in 80 days, I tried to be a bit clever with the title. Okay, let's get on with some Disney news then, because we've got quite a bit to get through, and I think some of this is going to cause some discussion, and especially this first one, which is to do with D23. D23 have announced that renewals are now beginning to be available for the D23 club, and not only the original membership, but also a new version. Now, the original membership that was available last year is now going to be known as D23 Membership Gold, and is still priced at $74.95. Now, Disney have announced a new level, which is Silver, and it is $40 less and does not include the magazine subscription. Now, this is priced at $34.99, as I say, okay, and it includes the following. It includes a membership card and certificate. It includes a 2010 members gift, Disney Undiscovered, which is a 23-month calendar. You get the attendance to the special members events. You also get exclusive merchandise. You get subscription to the bi-weekly e-newsletter and Downtown Disney discounts. So you really are getting a membership card and a gift that can be sent to you. This is where, again, I think it has a downfall for us in the UK. Although you're not having the magazine subscription, which means that brings down the delivery charge of what they send out to you, Disney are still charging $54 for delivery on top of the actual cost. So, again, seems to be still quite expensive.
So hold on, $54 for a card and one gift.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's great value. Sign me up.
Or
does this mean that, hold on, so it's $74, right, for a full one, $34 for this half one. So can I just phone them up so I'll just have the magazine for the $40 then, and you don't even have to post it to me? I'll collect it from somewhere.
Maybe. $54 for delivery, again, you know, I would have, if it was $74.95 and it was $20 or $30 for delivery, then I might have joined the full membership last year. Well, I would have joined the full membership last year. But I just don't get the fact that you're paying nearly double just so they can deliver it out to the UK, especially at the moment as they're doing free delivery in the US. Anyway.
That's wrong. It's wrong.
What do you think, Juz?
I just think it's a rip-off, isn't it? You know, I looked at that and thought, that's good. And then I saw the delivery bit at the bottom and thought, bleh. You know, it puzzles me as well. Why if the silver one, can't they give you access to an electronic version of the magazine?
I suppose.
Exactly, or no PDF or something, yeah.
You know, I'd be happier. Yeah, but I'd be happier. You know, every day you can get all these newspapers every day done on you know, you can get membership to the newspapers at a fraction of the cost. Why not say, well, the certificate card, whack it as a PDF. The gift, probably, you know, I'm not that bothered about, but I would like to quite see the magazine, and I'm quite happy to see it electronic.
Yeah.
You know, for $34, I'd pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, again, $54 for delivery, I just think is far, far too much, unfortunately, which is a real shame. And especially as I've just got my subscription for Celebrations magazine, and I think delivery for that for the year has cost me something like $27. And I know there's far more magazines that come out of that than do the D23 magazine,
yeah,
which is a shame. But hey, anyway, you know, I have a gripe about it, and we'll still continue to have a gripe about it, no doubt. Let's move into Walt Disney World then and see what we've got going on there. Firstly, the Four Seasons Hotel that is being built on Walt Disney World property is rumoured to have residential properties as part of it. Now, these residential properties are believed to be going for around a seven-figure sum. Not confirmed, but the show, home and sales suite are apparently under construction. But it seems that finally you're going to be able to live on Walt Disney World property.
He's talking seven figures, including the decimal points and the two zeros after.
I doubt.
Was that me just hoping? You know, I don't know. It's pampering to the rich where, you know, at the end of the day, folks, you know, the property is so cheap in Orlando now, just stay slightly off-site for a fraction of the cost.
My only concern is that Disney never allowed people to live on Walt Disney World property because of the issues with regards to voting rights. Because nobody officially lives within Walt Disney World, it meant the Reedy Creek Department didn't have to give voting rights to people. Whereas if people are living on property, that could change things. Now, I wonder whether Disney have sold the property to Four Seasons. Therefore, that little patch of land is no longer belongs to Walt Disney World. But it'd be interesting to see how that pans out, how that works. If there are people living on site and it's not... and it's still Walt Disney World property, whether that's going to have some sort of voting right issues.
It probably one of those ones where you have to leave for 6 weeks of the year.
It could be.
To make sure it's not a permanent residence.
Yeah, it's also possible. So I don't know. But hopefully, you know, it's not going to give people the voting rights and that's going to have any sort of effect. I would think Disney would hopefully have thought about that before that came along. Okay, let's move into the parks then. Let's go into Magic Kingdom. And the Wishes dessert party that has proved extremely popular has now finished. It's ended as of the 2nd of January. Rumours are that once again it's going to return in spring 2010. I know one of our listeners, Lee, he rang us from there. And I since spoke to him and he said that the amount of food that you got, the desserts, were fantastic. Also a good view of Wishes. I know we talked about a concern that Tomorrowland Terrace was not necessarily the best place to watch it from. But it seems that this party has proved a huge hit and is coming back permanently.
Excellent. You know, this is what they do, you know. They try it out, does well, and it comes back, you know. And the same has been done with Stitch, hasn't it? Tried it, didn't work, not come back.
Craig, are you going to try the dessert party?
Well, I tried to do it when we were over in August, weren't we? I think the day that you and I were there for the meet, I tried to do it and it was sold out. So, because to me, it was reasonably priced. I like puddings and I know that I can eat more than the ticket cost will be. So I'm a winner. So, yeah, I'll try it again in the summer.
So hopefully that'll come back and Craig can give us a review on that, which would be good. The parade is staying as normal, but there's a new pre-parade coming to the Magic Kingdom with the Give a Day, Get a Disney Day sort of theme, I suppose, for 2010 that's come in. Basically, if you're living in the US, you may know about this already. You can volunteer a day to work with a charity or an organization, and in return, Disney will give you a free day ticket. There's a million of them to give away. And Disney are recognizing this by having this pre-parade, which is going to have several floats and it's going to have dancers and vehicles and things like that. But also, there's going to be a cavalcade that includes Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, and Sweetums, because they are sort of the official mascots, I suppose, of this Give a Day, Get a Disney Day. And also, the interesting thing is volunteers who get their day ticket to go into the parks are also going to be chosen to be the grand marshals for the parade and going to be able to be going down Main Street, you know, through the parade route and be recognised for the efforts that they put in, which I think is a really nice touch.
I think the whole concept is great, so anything's brilliant.
So it's the same... I've put my application in already because working with you two jokers would be...
Oh, you know what? Do you know what? He's been thinking about that one for ages, just thinking, waiting to get that one in. I know, it's one of those you've had. It's a shame that it's not available to UK. I know it would be an absolute logistical nightmare to sort of have UK volunteers as well. But Craig, you know, is there something that you can do having a residence in Florida?
Yeah, I probably could actually. And in all seriousness, I would look into it. Because I think the whole family can do it as well. It's not limited. Last time I looked at it, to do it. I think we mentioned this before. I said that they did do this before for people that helped with the marathons and things like that. If you marshalled on all of their different marathons and half marathons, your reward was a day ticket. So I think it's a good idea. And yeah, now I'll look into it. I'll see if I can do some charity work, like, I don't know,
pulling weeds out my own garden, see if that works.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that's going to work. Another parade or show, actually, in Magic Kingdom that supposedly was to disappear is still there. Tiana's Showboat Jubilee was due to finish again on January the 2nd, but has been a huge, huge hit, and it seems that it may not be going anywhere. Apparently, on the official Disney website, it's now saying it's going to be playing until at least June and is up to five times a day. There was rumours that as soon as the show finished, it was going to be heading over to Paris to try and help promote the film over here in Europe. But it seems that maybe it's just not going anywhere, and the parade and the show is going to stay exactly where it is, and it's going to continue to play in the Magic Kingdom, which I think, you know, from the reaction they've had, they finally found a show that works really well. I think, you know, it's not a bad idea to keep it, is it?
Well, judging by the reaction on Facebook the other day when it said it was finishing, I'm glad it's come back, because the reaction was quite, you know, what a great show, why did they get rid of it?
Yeah, and I think on the Iron Orlando Facebook status, as recently a new sort of news items appeared from the Orlando Sentinel, which talks about why are they getting rid of this, because it is such a fantastic show. Mm. So maybe, you know, they've listened to fans, they've listened to what the media have said, and they're going to keep it and it'll stay there.
Cool.
Right, let's head into Disney Hollywood Studios there, where we've got a couple of bits and pieces with regards to that. Firstly, the Prince Caspian meet and greet is closing. It closes on January the 9th, 2010. The Prince Caspian meet and greet is situated right next to the Prince Caspian attraction. The attraction is going to stay open, but it seems Prince Caspian is finally going to go. I'm sort of surprised Prince Caspian's stayed around as long as he has, what with Disney no longer sort of running the franchise and isn't going to be making the next movie. Do you think this is the first step to the whole thing going?
I hope so. I thought it was a bit of a waste of space, to be honest. It looked nice, but nah. So, yeah, I mean, it's what they want to do with the space. And I suppose the problem is around there now is there's a lot of new things, Pixar coming in, that probably you start to think I could use that space for something else now.
What would you use it for if you were in charge?
Oh, I don't know. Now you've put a good question there. I'm sure something Pixar related. There's enough Pixar things coming up on their back burner to start putting new things in there.
Yeah, definitely. I'd quite like to see something Wall-E in there. I don't know what, but something Wall-E would be quite nice.
Nothing really came into the parks, really, did it?
No, we had the sort of Living Character Initiative, but that was about it, really. So something Wall-E would be quite nice in there. I don't know what, but I'll keep thinking.
Okay,
we're going to stay in the studios, and we're going over to the studios backlot, where there is a lengthy rehab coming up for not only the backlot studio tour, but also for Honey, I Shrunk the kids movie set. It's going down as of the 15th of February, reopening on the 28th of March. Now, this is a month and a half rehab, really. And because of that, rumours are beginning to circulate with what really is happening, and whether Disney are actually closing this and just never reopening it. The same happened with 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. It was supposed to be a temporary closure. It never reopened. And there's rumours that this is what's going to happen with this lot here. The backlot tour and Honey, I Shrunk the Audience may disappear. Also, the studio catering company may get a bit of a re-theme to something possibly Ratatouille-related. But the latest rumours, and these really are rumours, there's nothing here confirmed whatsoever, is that the backlot tour will be removed. Honey, I Shrunk the movie set will be rethemed to A Bug's Land, and that in place of where the backlot tour was is going to be a miniature version of the Radiator Springs Racers and a Monsters Inc. coaster. Any, do you think these are possibly true, or do you think this is just pie in the sky stuff?
You don't know, do you, at the moment? We've seen so many rumours come true, it's untrue, there's too many untrues there. But now, you know, I like that area, you know, so if you want to do something to it, I've got no aversion to that. Probably does need updating. To make it into a Bugs area, you think they wouldn't really need much to do there, would it? Just quit renaming.
Yeah, rename. Maybe they're going to put a few rides in, because the idea, I think, it's going to be a Bugs Land, very much like there is in California, where they've got the Heimlich Choo Choo train and all those bits and pieces there. I don't know. Craig, is this a welcome change, do you think, to the studios? The studios need this.
Well, I think the backlot tour has been chopped about, isn't it, so much that it's not anything that it was since they moved the Osborne Lights and took out Residential Street and stuff. So, to me, I'm quite happy to see them do something with that. The Honey, I Shrunk kind of part, the Playland, that's never been great there in my view. I haven't really enjoyed it there. So, yeah, anything new would be quite good. I'd quite like to see something really cars related there. So, why not?
It will be interesting to see if they do it, especially with the Backlot Tour's most recent addition was the sort of the house from the Hannah Montana movie that was put in a couple of months ago.
Change it now.
We saw that when we were last there, but that's really all they've put in or changed recently. So it'd be interesting to see whether, you know, this is going to be gone for good and whether they're going to bring something new in. It'd be nice to see if they do, and especially with, you know, the 40th coming up in a couple of years, it would be the perfect opportunity to begin to build ready for the 40th.
I suppose the thing is, do they actually have the money to... Well, I know they've got the money, but is this the time to invest into it, really?
Well, yeah, that's also very, very true. Whether this is going to be too much too soon. They've announced Fantasyland. You know, we'll see what's going to come next. Maybe this is the next big announcement for the D23 Expo next year. Okay, Star Wars Weekends. You listened to the show a few episodes ago. You know with you, we interviewed Warwick Davis, and he actually confirmed Star Wars Weekends is definitely coming back. Disney have released the dates. They released them a few weeks ago. Obviously, we've not done a podcast, so just to let you know, Star Wars Weekends dates are May 21st to 23rd, May 28th to 30th, June 4th to 6th, and June 11th to 13th. Interesting that it's not going to be in August. There was thoughts that maybe they were going to do it in August when the Star Wars exhibition was on over at the convention centre. But it seems that Disney is sticking with their guns and sticking with the May and June weekends.
I just wish I could be there. You know, I'm not a Star Wars geek or anything like that. Just think it would be dead cool.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it would be. And I'm not a massive Star Wars geek. But when I went to the memorabilia exhibition and I walked through to the entrance and there was just sort of 20 or 30 stormtroopers all stood round, it was like, yeah, that's actually quite cool, even, you know, though I'm not a massive Star Wars fan.
That's the cool thing, isn't it, seeing them on top of the entrance kind of talking down to you as you come into the park. And then it's a shame about the August though, isn't it, because that would have tied in really nicely with Star Wars convention, wouldn't it? So
it would have done. I also wonder whether Disney are trying to get in early to make sure they still get the crowds in that they're expecting as well as this August event happening.
Oh, most definitely, yes.
So that'd be interesting to see. But, you know, Warwick Davis will be back again. It should be another good event. One of these days, I will make it out there. I really, really will. Quick news from Animal Kingdom, just very, very quickly before we move over to Disneyland Paris, and that is Picnic in the Park. The new meal deal has gone seasonal. As with Wishes, Picnic in the Park, the Wishes Desserts Party, sorry, Picnic in the Park has gone to seasonal as of the 2nd of January. No news as to when this new seasonal date will return and when it will begin again. I'm guessing when it probably warms up a little bit more, but that has stopped. Okay, let's head over to Disneyland Resort Paris then, where we've got a little bit of news, one that I think is probably going to cause a bit of discussion at least. First off, if you are an annual pass holder, you are able to claim up to 5 tickets for friends, of which are priced at €20 each. They are available from the 4th of January to the 7th of March, and it excludes the 20th and 21st of February. But you should have got an email or a flyer which will come with your passholder magazine. If not, we have got the web link, which I'll stick on our Disney Brit forum. So if you go over to disneybrit.com/forum, I will stick this link into one of the threads over there. Basically, you click on it and you can download the email attachment, and you can take it with you, and you can get 5 tickets for €20 each. There are a few sort of things, sort of guidelines or conditions for the offer. Firstly, it is unlimited access to 2 parks. It's a 1-day ticket for 2 parks, so obviously, as long as it doesn't reach capacity. The offer's only valid at the counters to the entrance of the Disney parks, and you have to have the flyer and you have to have your annual pass. You can't use any other offers. The email address can only be used once, so you give your email address once, you can't use it again. And you can only do it with a Fantasy or Dream ticket. It doesn't work with a Francilian pass. It only works with a Fantasy or Dream ticket. But another really, really good offer, I think, from Disney here. €20 for the entrance to a park. That's not bad going at all, is it?
It's a bargain. So me, Craig and Adam are quite willing to come with you when you claim these tickets. So at least we can get 3 of them.
Yeah, that's a great idea. There we go. I think I've had my quota of Disneyland Paris for this for a year.
It's so. A new year now.
It is new. That's true. No, yes, I'm quite happy to go. It's a brand new year. Excellent stuff. Thank you very much. So yes, please. I think it's a really excellent offer. I was thinking about getting myself an annual pass again this year. I decided against it in the end. But this really would have been well worth a look at if I had got it. Okay, let's move on to the next bit of news. This is something that sort of happened on the couple of days after we sort of recorded the last show. Otherwise, it really would have been in the last show, because this is something I think that's really, really important. And that was on Wednesday, the 23rd of December. Members of the CFTC, CDFT and UNSA unions decided to strike at Disneyland Paris over pay. Now, this has happened many, many times before, but every single time that it's happened, it's never really encroached onto the parks before now. Now, Disney announced that cast members' pay would not be rising in 2010. And because of this, some of the cast members were quite upset about it. And between 150 and 200 cast members decided that they would go on strike. Now, in the past, the cast members have marched through Disney Village. They've marched around Lake Disney. But it's only this time that the cast members decided that they would enter the parks and show how upset they were about the decision that had been made. Now, strikers demonstrated outside the park, as I've already said. They did demonstrate in the lobby of the New York Hotel. And having seen some of the videos on YouTube, they really did cause quite a scene there. They also barricaded some of the entrances to Disneyland Park. They really covered quite a few of the turnstiles to stop people from getting into the park. As well as that, they closed off entrances to both Space Mountain and Big Thunder Mountain for a period of time. They actually had to stop Big Thunder Mountain at one point for fear of cast members running onto the track, but they did completely barricade up both the fast, I think it was both the fast pass and the standard entry line, so you could not get in at all. And as well as that, which I think makes it worse, they also managed to stop both the Stars and Cars event and the Once Upon a Dream parade. The Stars and Cars event, they stood in the area of which the cars come into before they sort of had the show element to the parade. And there was an announcement made over the tannoy that due to unforeseen circumstances, it would be cancelled. And you hear on this YouTube video, cast members cheering and blowing their horns and waving their flags, which just made me so cross. But also, the Once Upon a Dream parade, they actually marched down the route of the parade and did it very slowly and got in the way of that parade. And people had stood in the queue, stood in line at the side of the road for the parade to happen for up to an hour beforehand. And about 5:10 to 5:05, once again, Disney had to cancel the parade due to these protesters. Now, because of this, many guests got quite angry. Fights broke out as well. There was reports of a few fights, and you'll hear us speak to Phil a little bit later in the show, who was actually there at the time of the strikes happening. He talks about what happens, but some fights broke out as well. And because of all this, Disney management sent a letter to the union reps on the evening of the 23rd, agreeing to open talks, and subsequent strike action was cancelled. Disney have since agreed that they will increase wages, and the unions have backed down and will not strike again this year. But I just think this was who is to blame here? Whose fault is it?
Do you know, we're in an economic climate where most of us have stopped getting pay increases and have freezes. So why should they be any different? Get over it. You know, people are trying to recover. You're working for a company that's millions in debt, you know, and is trying to get themselves out of it. I just think the action was poor. I think, yeah, fair enough, if you want to do some kind of strike action, it can be done, it can be registered, but what they've done is ruin people's Christmases that families have saved up for, and all you've done is ruined it for kids.
Yeah. Craig, what's your opinion?
I'm really, really cross with this, and I don't know, you know, half of me thinks is it a problem because of where the park actually is and the mentality of the nation that they're employed mainly to work there? But the other half, you know, if you work for Disney, you know that your job is to entertain and to provide entertainment and dreams for people. You would never get that in America because everyone that works for Disney just loves the fact what they're doing. And it's just going about it the wrong way. You've got a gripe, so what? I haven't had a pay rise this year. I bet, you know, I don't know if any listeners that have had a pay rise this year. Mm. You know, tough bananas, that's what the world is like. You've got a wonderful job entertaining people. You know, get on and enjoy it. Stop messing up everybody's lives and holidays and ruining the dreams of little kids that may not be able to go there for 5, 10, 15, 20 more years' time. I just think it's wrong, it's rude, selfish, unproductive. Well, it's productive for them that they've got a pay rise, but that means that costs are going to go up elsewhere because money doesn't grow on trees.
Do you not think that it's wrong, partly wrong. Management's fault, though, for allowing them to enter the park in the first place?
Well, they should have stopped it. In the UK, sorry, Jazz, to stop you there, but I was going to say, you know, depending what the labour law like is in France, and actually I talked to my French colleague about it this week, I'll ask him because I'd be interested, but I'd fire them all. I'd get rid of them all. Those that strike and disrupted it, get rid of them all and replace them with people that actually want to work for the company. I don't know whether it's an official strike or unofficial or not, but, you know, labour laws are different. Over here, it'd be slightly more controlled about what they could do and what you could do with them. But management, it's everyone's fault. You know, it's their fault. It's the cast members' fault. It takes two to tango, but it's just the way they've gone about it is wrong, Adam.
What were you going to say, Juz?
Well, I was going to say it's very hard for the management to stop it because these are your cast members. It sounds like it was unofficial, you know, and these people you expect to go and do the work probably pre-arranged at a certain time to get together and do this. Mm. I think what's really bizarre is they've actually picked two attractions, Space Mountain and Big Thunder Mountain, that have the most downtime in the whole park, yeah, and they've blockaded them. So all I would think is, oh, it's down as usual. Mm. So, you know, it just seems that they've obviously, these park ones sound to me like they're completely unofficial away from the unions, because what they've gone in, basically they've gone in under false pretenses to work, to disrupt that work. And as Craig says, well, to me that comes as fireable offence.
They did all come in with massive flags and air horns and all that sort of stuff, and they had
all of
their
unions. You probably sneak them past their mates who stood at the gate, you know.
Because they stood outside the gates, outside the front gates with where guests would enter, and they were waving their flags there and stopping people from entering the parks. They could have snuck into the parks at the back entrance. There's no reason why that couldn't happen. But it sort of makes me really cross, because I can see where they're coming from, and I think partly I would blame the management for allowing them entry and allowing it to happen, and for not stopping it sooner, and actually for allowing them to go from one park to the other, because they managed to get from Disney Studios and completely disrupt what was going on there. Oh, the other thing they did as well, they managed to get down to the stage of Lights, Motors, Action and wave their flags down on the stage and disrupt the start of that show as well. And I don't know how they've managed to get onto that stage, how they've managed to stop one parade and be allowed to stop another parade and block two attractions without them being thrown out of the park. I just don't quite understand how they've got away with it. And you're right, it makes me so cross. And I think my Facebook status this week was, he's going to stop watching these videos because they're making him angry, is that you could see there are people who are physically distraught as to what is going on, who just cannot believe what is happening, and yet they continue to do it and had absolutely no remorse whatsoever for what they were doing.
As Craig says, you never see it in the States. There's a love to work there when you look at the people we know on the Facebook. And this is just completely against it. You know, you're not attacking anyone. You're attacking the people who actually are paying your wages by getting a ticket to go in there. But more importantly, you're attacking the kids. And if that's the way they want to play the game, they shouldn't even work for Disney. It's not the right attitude.
I think you're completely right. Yeah, I think you're completely right. And hopefully this won't happen again. And
It will, though, because they've won, haven't they?
Well, yes, they have. And I think they'll probably try it again. But
yeah.
It's a shame, but you're right, it would never happen in America. It would never be allowed to happen in America. And, you know, unfortunately, they've got away with it, and they have won, and they'll try it again if they need to. So watch this space, I think, is the way to put it. Right, a couple of bits of news for the park itself. Firstly, with the announcement of Disneyland having Captain EO return in February of this year, rumours again have been spreading that there's also going to be returning to other resorts as well. Florida has still not necessarily been ruled out as a place where it is going to return, but Disneyland Paris is a definite no. Captain EO will not be returning. The press department of Le Journal have actually said that it's definitely not going to be returning. It means we are definitely stuck with Honey, I Shrunk the Audience for a little bit longer. Do you think Captain EO would be the right choice for return to Disneyland Paris? I know Michael Jackson was a huge fan of the Paris park.
I have an issue with this. It's something that during when he was alive would never come into the parks again due to, you know, his name being tarnished. But in death comes back into the parks, and I think it's very hypocritical, full stop.
Okay, fine, Craig.
I kind of see Jozzy's point. I mean, you know, if he was still with us, they wouldn't be bringing it back because they got rid of it for, you know, it served its course of time.
Yeah.
I suppose it's maybe for Paris because that was one of his favourite ones. It could come back for a limited run. But, you know, I'm not really bothered either way if it comes back or not. I'd be more worried to see Honey, I Shrunk the Audience go, to be honest.
Are you really that much of a fan? You see, if I had a choice between having Honey, I Shrunk the Audience in there and Captain EO, I'd go for Captain EO every time.
But why not just do a new film? As you say, a Wall-E type one could integrate into the movement of the seats or something.
I think I have a feeling that's probably what's happening. You know, they're bringing Captain EO in at Disneyland for a short period of time, and I think they've got something new to go in. And fingers crossed, if it's integrated well over there, that we might begin to see it in the other parks. But Honey, I Shrunk the Audience for me is now very, very dated and very, very old. There are children who go to the park now who haven't got a clue what this film is anymore. So it'd be nice to see something new. You know, there's nothing wrong with the film. The film's okay. It's just very, very dated and very old.
Mm-hmm.
Right, talking about new things, we know Toy Story Playland is coming, and the development of that and the construction of that seems to be coming out extremely well. From when I was there last week, you can see the army hut for the parachute drop coming on quite nicely. The building for the RC races is also coming on very, very nicely. So their works are going well with that. But there seems to be some plans over in the Chessy Town Hall that seem to indicate a very large show building that is going to be built behind Toy Story Playland. Now, could this possibly be Ratatouille finally coming to the park? Now, he's got his own eatery in Walt Disney Studios, but it could be that there is a new attraction coming as well. Now, there's no specific mention of the rat when you look at the building itself, but it does seem to be holding something substantial, which gives a clue that maybe this is going to be some sort of dark ride or something that's going to have a large space to build in. The area at the front is going to be a very themed sort of area, maybe a Paris or some sort of idea of something overgrown or built up big, which will fit in quite nicely with the Toy Story Playland area. But the main building inside is going to include an attraction, a show and a restaurant. So I suppose we sort of wait with bated breath for an announcement, if that is that they do actually make an announcement about this one.
Yeah, I think Ratatouille, to be honest with you, is a perfect choice and should be there. It's designed around the French theme, so it makes sense. On the flip side, I don't know how big Ratatouille was as a film, because bizarrely, I've still not seen it.
Really? In France, Ratatouille was huge.
Right.
It was really a massive, massive film. It did reasonably well for Pixar. I don't remember it winning an Oscar. Can't remember whether it did or not. Good question. But it did reasonably well for Pixar. It wasn't by far their most, highly rated film, but I enjoyed it and I think it's a good movie, and if you've not watched it, you should definitely watch it. I think it fits in perfectly, as you say. It's definitely the right sort of place for it to be in, definitely the right sort of film for that particular park, because obviously it's a studios and it's not a working studios, so it'd be nice to see something like that come in.
I think it'd be nice if it was unique only to Paris, because I don't think that Ratatouille would go down particularly well in any of the other parks.
Do you know what I think?
So nice if they did. No, I don't think so. I don't think it. I think it was a big film in France because it was based around where it was. I don't think it'd be that big in America, to be honest with you. So I'd like it just to stay as something for Walt Disney Studios only, maybe.
Okay. Interesting. There was a poll that was done by a couple of journalists in, I think there was the New York Times as one, and I can't remember who the other one was, but the journalists from the New York Times actually rated Ratatouille as the number one movie of the decade.
How weird.
Mm. What a fool.
So, I think it's a brilliant film. I really like it.
Yeah, but not number one of the decade.
No, well, I don't know. But apparently number one movie of the decade. So it obviously had a bigger impact in France than we think it has, but certainly...
He hadn't seen High School Musical.
Was it about some striking rat or something?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's about, yeah. It's a rat who goes in and waves flags and stuff. That's about it. Right, that is all of our news. Quite a lengthy one, had quite a bit of news to get through, but that is everything. So that's the end of the news for the first show of 2010.
Woohoo!
Music lovers, this is Bob Jackson from Walt Disney World's Port Orleans Riverside Resort, giving a big shout out to all his friends listening to the Disney Brit Podcast. I perform at Port Orleans Riverside every Wednesday through Saturday, and I want to invite all of you out to the show. We'll be watching for you.
I'm the music man, I come from down your way, and I can play.
What can you play?
I play piano.
P-I-P-I-P-N-O, P-N-O.
You may have heard a second ago we were talking on the news with regards to the Disneyland Paris strikes that made me rather angry. Well, we did have a listener, Philip Boydell, who was over there at the time. You will have heard Philip before. He was one of the guys I spoke to when I was over at the pin trading meet. But Phil, you were in Disneyland Paris at the time, weren't you, during these strikes? And can you sort of tell us a little bit more about what happened? You know, I've seen some of the YouTube videos and about the crowd getting quite angry and some of the demonstrations from the cast members. But what was your actual experience of it?
Well, we arrived on the park off the train station on the 23rd at 9 o'clock in the morning. And when we got off the train, there was a large crowd of people, probably 100 to 150 people, sitting outside the park itself. At first, we thought it was something to do with the train which was on strike, and we were rushing through the actual cast member entrance, right on the right-hand side of the entrance to the park. Once we were actually in the park, we were just carrying on as normal until around 10:30. We just got off the bus right here, and there was a lot of chances of noise outside and a big sea of people all heading towards Space Mountain. And we asked the cast member what was going on, and they explained it was cast members that were on strike. There was a member of a different union to the one we were speaking to, and obviously they were striking for more money. It was absolute chaos. It was just a big wall of people, and nobody could have the opposite way out of Discovery, and everybody was being forced in by this big sea of people. We decided to head round through Fantasyland, and of course, to become the fast passes around, about quarter past 11. We made its way to the fast pass queue, and we just got to the loading area of Big Thunder Mountain. And all of a sudden, we heard all this commotion and sirens and people chanting. All sorts of people were flying over the fences. And basically, they just took over the entrance to Big Thunder Mountain and stopped everyone from coming through. We thought it was a bit strange while we were in the queue of Big Thunder because they were taking trains out of service. And we thought, well, this is a bit odd. What are they taking trains out of service for? Because obviously, it's one of the busiest days of the year, and they should be running all the actual ride vehicles. And it transpired, a cast member come and told us that they thought that they was going to get onto the track. And obviously, if somebody's on the track, they hit the emergency door, and they would strand people actually out on the mountain itself, and they'd have to end up through a complete restart of the ride. They were scuffle and chanting and what have you. We were there for about 20 minutes left. We got a bit thunder. And at the end of the day, we were down at the Boston Main Street because we were due to leave, and we just thought we'd try and catch a bit of the parade just before we left because we had to get the train to get back to Charles de Gaulle. They announced that the parade wasn't taking place, and then all the crowds and crowds of people with all the banners and the megaphones were all on Main Street, obviously blocking it so they couldn't run the parade. Obviously, the announcement came through that the parade wasn't taking place, and it got quite nasty. We decided to leave just in case it got too nasty and we can get out of the park. But the actual public were booing and hissing the strikers because the parade. Not a very nice Christmassy thing.
So, obviously, this is, I think, the first time that the strikes happened in the park, and they actually went to Hotel New York. They lobbied in there. They went over to Disney Studios before they managed to stop the 5 o'clock parade in Disneyland Park. They managed to stop the Stars and Cars event over at Disney Studios. So they closed Space Mountain for a while. They closed Big Thunder for a while. You say there was some skirmishes and things that happened. Yeah, how did guests take it? You know, what was their reaction?
It was one surprise, really. I mean, it's not something you'd expect to see in the park. People really pushing and shoving, and obviously there were a few punches being thrown that we saw as the security was to stop the protesters getting onto the bridge over the tracks on Big Thunder. It could have been fair for people lost up within the crowd of cast members, because of the volume of the people that have been taken along and not being able to do what they wanted. Yeah, it could have been quite scary, especially for little children if they were in the wrong place.
And how was Disney's reaction to this? Were they, you know, letting them get on with it? Were they trying to stop them? Was there security there? Or, you know, how did it look?
There was, which was like kind of security. They were cast members because they got the big bag up. Mm-hmm. But they were people wearing a yellow armband. I don't know where they've been captured from, but they were like there, I suppose, for extra security. And as we saw, trying to get all the big funder, they were pushing past, timing, hunting, and it wasn't a very nice thing, to be honest.
So, all in all, did it ruin your holiday? Was you able still to enjoy it, or did it make no difference at all?
It was the last day, and it wasn't very nice, obviously. Last day, I mean, the park was covered in snow due to the trackers that it took after Christmas time. It did spoil it, yeah. Obviously, we were delayed on the Thunder. We didn't catch the parade on the last day, which was the intention to catch the parade week and then obviously come home. So, yeah, we were a bit disappointed. We don't know, obviously, the whys and wherefores for what the striking for too much. I mean, I don't know whether you've got any more details. But
yeah, the strikes was, as you know, was because of the wanting a rise in salary. From what we understand, the Disneyland Paris management sent a letter to all of the heads of the unions on the evening of that day to reopen talks, and that they've actually got that increase in salary now, and that the striking that was going to happen again this year has now been cancelled.
Right, OK. I mean, they've obviously had to... It's putting to words. I mean, obviously, they did have a genuine grievance, but taking it out on the public within the park and spoiling people's days, a lot of people obviously coming for Christmas.
Yeah.
It wasn't very nice, and obviously the epic Christmas, because it was going to be the most crowded time and have most impact on people, like it did have. It would have been nice for it not to have happened while we were there, but... Mm. It did. But obviously, it did get ugly when obviously they cancelled the parade. We deliberately left then because we didn't want to get involved and miss trade.
Yeah.
But the crowd were turning. So, I mean, it could have gone totally the other way and been fighting between the strikers and the actual general public, which wouldn't have been very good. Not very Disney at all.
Well, thank you, Phil, for joining us and for letting us know your experience. Obviously, it's something that we're hoping that's not going to be repeated again in the park, and I'm sure you hope it's not going to be repeated again on your next trip. But thank you for joining us, Phil.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to the 18th edition of the Disney Brit Trivia Quiz. You know how this works by now, so I'm not going to hang around giving you the rules. Each question, all eight of them, gradually gets harder. Question 1 is worth 100 points, all the way up to question 8, which is worth 800 points. We are going to give you the questions on this edition of the show, and you're going to get the answers on the next edition of the show. So, if you're ready, you've got your pen and your paper, and you're ready with your family, let's get on with this edition of the Disney Brit Trivia Quiz. Okay, let's start off with question 1 then for 100 points, which is this. Name the Disney MGM studio show where you might ask the audience. So question 1, 100 points. Name the Disney MGM studio show where you might ask the audience.
Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dreamfinder.
Question 2 then for 200 points is this. In which ride would you plunge down Chickapin Hill? So in which ride would you plunge down Chickapin Hill?
Ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam. That's a good one. Oh, everything I collect can inspire amazing...
Question 3 for 300 points. What has become the main icon for Disney's Hollywood studios? So question 3 for 300 points. What has become the main icon for Disney's Hollywood studios?
What a lovable fellow. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment. And there, voila! You've got a figment. A figment.
Question four, then, for 400 points. In which Disney World location would you find characters such as Hathaway Brown and Otis T. Wren? Or should I say, in which Disney World location would you have found characters such as Hathaway Brown and Otis T. Wren?
That belongs to all of us.
You mean everyone can think up new things.
That's right, Figment. And every sparkling idea can lead to even more. So many.
Question five, then, for 500 points. Who owned Pleasure Island before their tragic yachting accident? So who owned Pleasure Island before their tragic yachting accident?
We can combine it with ghostly shivers on a stormy night and turn them into a tale of fright.
Look, a rainbow. I'll use that.
Question six, then, for 600 points is the following. In which pavilion would you find the control room for Illuminations? So, in which pavilion will you find the control room for Illuminations?
Prisms, gyroscopes, and magnetism. Holy grail!
Hold on, Figment.
Why?
The idea bag is full.
It is? Let's start making new things.
No, wait. First, we must...
Okay, getting a little bit harder now. We're going to go to question seven for 700 points, which is this. Name the sailor who, according to the story, ran his ship aground at Stormalong Bay in Disney's Yacht and Beach Club Resort. So, question seven, I'll repeat that. Name the sailor who, according to the story, ran his ship aground at Stormalong Bay in Disney's Yacht and Beach Club.
Spark! Lights up for you!
Oh, boy!
Imagination! Imagination!
And finally then, question eight, the hardest one of the bunch. This is for the 800 points, and the question is as follows. Minnie Mouse has two nieces. Can you name them? So Minnie Mouse has two nieces, but can you name them?
The turn of the century, folks, discovered a barrel of fun.
Bum, 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 bum.
Taking pictures by the light of the sun. Smile, hug, look at the camera.
There we go then. There is all eight questions. Each one, as we said, as always, getting progressively harder. Hopefully, you've got some idea on those. And we're hoping that you're going to send in a rival Brian and Tom Jackson, who always get their answers in. And get your answers into us here at DisneyBrit@hotmail.com. Please do send them in. DisneyBrit@hotmail.com. And those of you who get them all correct, we will make sure that we read your names out on the next edition of the podcast.
Woo! Then the flappers appeared on the scene. Rumble seats and 20-cent gasoline. Radios and Dixieland jazz. Brownie cameras and razzle.
One of the newer attractions to hit Disneyland Paris is that of the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, a fantastic ride and one that really has been a huge success all over the world in every single park it's appeared in. And what we decided to try and do while we were out there over New Year was to try and capture some audio from the attraction. So myself and a few other people who were out there decided we would try and do just that. And what you're about to hear is some of the audio from the French version of the attraction. And you'll also hear me screaming an awful lot in the background. So what you're about to hear now is just a short piece of audio, which is from Disneyland Paris's Walt Disney Studios version of the Tower of Terror.
Vous ouvrez cette porte avec la clé de l'imagination. Au-delà, c'est une autre dimension. Une dimension sonore. Une dimension visuelle. Une dimension de l'esprit. Vous pénétrez dans le domaine de l'ombre et de la matière. Des objets et des idées. Vous venez d'entrer dans la quatrième dimension. Hollywood, 1939. Dans le strass et les paillettes d'un Hollywood à l'apogée de son âge d'or, le Hollywood Tower Hotel était une star à part entière. Le lieu de rencontre de l'élite du show business. Mais quelque chose allait se produire qui allait changer tout ça. Thank you. pourrait semblable à celle dont nous venons d'être témoins. L'histoire de ce soir dans la quatrième dimension est quelque peu unique et réclame une introduction d'un autre ordre. Vous aurez sûrement reconnu ce qu'on appelle un ascenseur de service. Il est toujours en état de marche et il vous attend. Nous vous invitons, si vous l'osez, à l'emprunter, car dans l'épisode de ce soir, vous êtes la vedette. Et cet ascenseur conduit directement dans la quatrième dimension.
Vous êtes les passagers d'un des ascenseurs les plus stupéfiants qui soient. Et vous allez faire le plus étrange voyage de votre vie. Votre destination, inconnue, mais une chose est sûre. Une réservation a été faite en votre nom pour une durée prolongée. Dites adieu au monde réel. Venez de pénétrer dans la quatrième dimension. Les tristes événements qui s'abattirent sur ce haut lieu d'Hollywood sont sur le point de se reproduire. Par une nuit d'orage il y a fort longtemps, 5 personnes passèrent les portes d'un ascenseur pour vivre un cauchemar. L'orage est maintenant de retour et les portes s'entrouvrent à nouveau. Mais cette fois-ci, elles s'ouvrent pour vous. Une fois que vous réserverez dans un hôtel abandonné dans la partie sombre d'Hollywood, prenez bien soin de préciser combien de temps vous restez. Vous risquez de devenir des résidents permanents de la quatrième dimension.
Well, that music, as always, means it's the end of this edition of the podcast. Once again, I want to thank our sponsors, Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. You can find them at attraction-tickets-direct.co.uk and completeorlando.co.uk. Thanks again to Juz and Craig, who joined me and will be joining me a lot more over the next few episodes as we bring those new segments to you. Make sure to send us your emails, your questions, your comments, your suggestions, especially those ideas for our Around the World in 80 segments. And also our Disney Island discs. If you want to join in with either of those, please do email us to let us know. That's disneybrit@hotmail.com. You can also ring our voicemail number still on 0121 288 2858 if you're in Europe, and 407-545-7980 if you're in the US. Haven't had any voicemails for the past couple of weeks, so please do get some voicemails into us. We do really enjoy playing them at the end of the show. Make sure to check out our website at disneybrit.com. As we mentioned in the news, there's some great new things coming to that and a really big overhaul of that site coming soon. And you can check out our Facebook page and our Disney Brit fan page over there on Facebook. Please do come and join up over there. You can also friend up myself, Juz and Craig, and we do post all sorts of things and update our statuses and all that sort of stuff over there. So please do come and friend us up over there if you haven't done so already. Thank you to those people who once again have left reviews on iTunes. It really is greatly appreciated. Helps people to know whether or not it's the sort of show for them. Please, if you have not done it and you do enjoy the show, to go over there and post your review on iTunes to let people know about it. You can see the vidcasts for the show over on our new YouTube channel. If you search for Disney Brit Podcast, one word, over on YouTube, you'll be able to find our YouTube channel where we are posting our vidcasts before we release them as downloads. Don't forget, you can download the latest vidcast, which is a photo diary of Mouse Meets 2009. If you've not seen that over on YouTube, you can watch that there. Or you can download it within this usual podcast feed, so please go and do that. Copies of my books, The Minnie Mouse and The Imagineering in the Way, The Unofficial History of the Magic Kingdom, are both still available. Minnie Mouse is available from Amazon and from Waterstones and WH Smith, so you can go and find them. It's a great little late Christmas present for yourself. Don't forget, check out our sister podcast at Eye on Orlando, and you can visit our forum at disneybrit.com/forum, as well as our blogs. And the next show will be on Wednesday, the 20th of January, 2010. So, until then, I'll see you.